we're going to deal with tonight, embracing the believer's maturity. What I said?
Embracing the believer's maturity.
Yeah, and what I'm saying to you is that I've been in the church a long time. The old folks say I've been running for the Lord a long time. And I'm not tired yet. I heard you, brother. But it's a missing ingredient. Listen to me now. What y'all doing back there? It's a missing ingredient at large in the body of Christ. We have come to some maturity. I think for one aspect, we might have got stuck in the word of faith because we were so happy to get out of just religion. And then even with the aspect of the full gospel, being filled with the Holy Spirit and able to speak in tongue, I think it calls us to think of arrival to a certain degree.
Yes, sir.
And then, you know, somebody tell you, say, that's a good restaurant. Well, who telling you? What have they eaten before? I've had people tell me, oh, it's so wonderful. Then I thought, I should have thought. Who told me that? So experience and encounters are not the same thing.
Yes, sir.
The believer will have to learn how to have certain encounters before they need it. I've seen people sit in the church for years and years and years and had grown to a certain extent, but not further enough. So sometimes lives are cut off short. And sometimes people go through their whole life not having what God wanted them to have or not doing what God wants them to do. And I spell that immaturity. Okay, I've been pastoring for a long time. And I am to bring people as far as I could bring them. But now it seemed like the Lord have placed a responsibility on me at this season in my ministry is to mature the believer that they can fight with ease. And that's a book I got one thing out of. I thought it was a real good book, but I got one thing out of it. It's knowing the difference in fighting on the battlefield or legally taking authority from the courts of heaven.
Amen.
Vast different.
Yes, sir.
Vast different. You don't have to argue with the enemy. And you don't have to argue with life situation.
Yes,
and so I don't want you to get address in pat association things that you're used to doing. You see, there's an element of breakout on every level. There's another world, another realm that you walk in and you see and hear and understand and act on things that you never have done before. In studying the Bible, the first thing is observation. Make sure you see what you're reading. And then you need the Holy Spirit to give you interpretation, what it really means. It said one thing, but what it really mean? And then thirdly, application. If you can't apply it, it has no meaning to you. If you just can quote the verse, oh, we start quoting verses up in here. Boy, we can quote some verses up in here. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But how much application can we do?
Amen.
Under pressure.
Yes,
you follow what I'm saying?
Yes,
I said under pressure. Everybody a Christian can raise your hand, air conditioning blowing. Everybody smart and say, I love you. Under pressure. Everybody say under pressure.
Under pressure.
See, now the average Christian cannot stand no pressure. They will quote scriptures and think the scripture's going to do it. But the scripture can't do nothing without the partnership of faith. See, it has to be mixed with faith. You have to know how to mix your faith when everything else looks like it's failing. Are you listening?
Yes,
you may be seated. May the Lord add his grace to this Bible lesson tonight. Embracing the believer's maturity. Now, you have to listen. I have to take you some places tonight. The first place I want to take you is Ephesians 1:3. We got to get to understanding that verse. Ephesians 1:3. Took me many years before I got to understanding that verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Now, right there, I want you to pause, because a lot of time, if you don't understand it, church-wise, you're fighting for things that are already yours. Yes, sir. And see, when you mature, you don't fight, you take.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, you take. You just claim it. You know, they fuss about naming it and claiming it. No, when you're matured, you're going to name some stuff and claim it. See, but the church afraid of that, because they think it's not right, but it is right.
It is right.
When you operate in what I call, and mark this down, a sweatless anointing.
Yes,
yeah, sweatless anointing. In other words, you don't have to struggle. You enter in with a prevailing mindset. Write that down.
Yeah,
prevailing mindset, which is the mind of the Spirit and the mind of Christ and the mind of God. You have the ability to have the mind of the Spirit, the mind of Christ, and the mind of God. You can operate in those minds. They're all one mind, but all three of them.
Yes,
see, the Bible talks about us being able to operate in the mind of God, the mind of the Holy Spirit. Then in Romans 8:26-28, it talks about the mind of the Spirit. I'll tell you these three things. I had something to deal with. I'll tell you these three things before I even start. In Romans 8:26, you don't have to turn there. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 28. You know the 28 verse say all things work together. God point three things out to me in those verses I think will help you in your next battle.
Yes, sir.
You want to know?
Yes, sir.
The first way to win a battle is to recognize your infirmity.
Yes,
it seemed backwards, man. Recognize your infirmity. Recognize your ability, your non-ability to handle it. And acknowledge it.
Yes, sir.
God, I can't handle this.
You're right. Yes, sir.
Now, see, self-help book tell you can handle it.
Right.
But you're fighting a spiritual battle. You're not fighting no self-help battle.
Right.
All right, so you recognize, you find in Romans 8:26-28, you'll find the first thing you deal with is your infirmities. Paul was strong in the spirit because he was weak in the flesh.
Amen.
He recognized it. So he wouldn't let his flesh take the place of his spirit. The second thing is the mind of the spirit. You're going to find that in Romans 8:26-28. You're going to find the mind of the spirit. The mind of the spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you his mind. And the Holy Spirit mind is God's mind. Now let somebody outthink you. Let the devil outthink you and outtrick you and distract you and derail you. No, he can't when you're operating in the mind of the spirit. The third thing is, and this is where immaturity come in really, my love for God. How much do I love him? How much do I want to know about him? Am I present or absent? See, it tells me, you can't argue with this. Just telling you, if you're absent, there's an element missing in your love for God. You're doing something else.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Those three things will get you out of any battle.
Thank
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because the enemy, he wants to play on your infirmities and your weaknesses and tell you you're not going to make it. But you admit before God, and God will give you his strength.
Yes, sir.
All right? Now, turn now to Ephesians 1:3. This is a maturing scripture, and you can embrace your maturity, because God has already provided for you for your entire life and in eternity.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, Jesus. Every encounter, every situation you have to deal with, God has already provided for you how to handle it.
Yes, sir.
If you're spiritually minded.
Yes, sir.
That come along with maturity, you see.
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So there's some battles you're fighting because certain attack make you feel inferior. See, immaturity makes you feel inferior. When you mature in the spirit realm, there's no more inferiority, and then you can move out in power. Are you following me? Now you had Ephesians 1:3. Huh? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing. Now that word spiritual blessing is where immature Christians get off the bus. Because they think it's just scriptures. They think it's just praying in tongues. No, it's a total package of knowing the indwelling spirit. Knowing that the spirit can lead you. Knowing that the spirit can move you. Knowing that on a daily basis you should ask the Lord to fill me with the Holy Ghost. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now there's another, there's some more voices you got to get to base this out. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now he's telling you how this thing is already paid for. See, in a person in maturity know that the cross paid for everything. What? But there's a lingering and a lagging in the church because they don't understand that. See, the cross paid for everything. So here Paul will tell you how he do it. The same Paul acknowledges weaknesses and infirmities, and God said, "I'm strong when you say you're weak." Now, look at this voice. Look at it. I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You see that?
Yes, sir.
All right, now, we're building a foundation here because I got about 15, 20 things I could tell you right quick and cause you to mature. Now, go to Galatians 2:20. Now, relate to this voice. Relate to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2. Now, go to Galatians 2:20.
Yes, sir.
We need to relate. Now, it says here, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Oh. Oh, that's maturity there. I don't have to do this. But Christ liveth in me. Oh. Clap your hand. Christ liveth in me. Give him the glory. Christ liveth in me. Give him the reign. See, I don't believe in this God is my co-pilot. No, I'm not catching no ride with you. You have that license on your car. Don't ever try to pick me up. I'd rather walk.
Yes, sir.
I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He permit me to live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. Now notice what he says here now. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by. I live by. You remember saying, in him we live, we move, and we have our being? See, that's spiritual talk. You can't live, move, and have your being in your flesh, in your religion. So he says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now that's saying something there too, you know. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Now look at the next verse. I just went the opening of the 21st verse. I do not frustrate the grace of God. So when you attack, don't frustrate God's grace by believing you're going to lose. Because to a matured believer, when you say lose, they say how? They say why? Because they know better. All right? Now, let's see what that other verse I want to take you to. Galatians 2. All right. For believer to walk in maturity, their soul their mind, their will, their imagination, their conscience has to be on a spiritual scale. Listen to me now. Don't worry about them. They're going to sit down. They got to be on a scale. You can't get nothing from watching them sit down. On a scale. Y'all too distracted too fast. You got one thing about maturity, you got to know how to focus. Something else can be going on, but you're looking at what you're looking at. You see what the Bible says? Now you took me to another verse. I'll get back. Look into Jesus, the author, and finish up my faith. Don't get distracted. My son, attend to my word. Yeah, see. So one of the things to mature, you're going to have to grow up not to let noise rally you. I'm going to say another word now. Not to let symptom rally you. Symptoms are a distractor from the enemy. They want to derail you, make you double-minded, bring you to doubt. So now, I want to take you to a pre-cross anointing. Apostolically and prophetically, we go back and forth. The apostle Bill, the prophet, tear down and tell some new things that are coming abroad.
Yes, sir.
Now, listen to me. I'm going to take you somewhere now. You've been there before, but you haven't been there like this.
Okay.
Yes, Psalm 103.
Yes, sir.
I begin to tell you about your soul. Uh-huh. See, most believers' soul is out of alignment.
Right.
Not that they're bad people. That you just have been trained how important what you think
right.
is. You see, Psalm 103, verse 1. Uh-huh. Psalm 103, verse 1. So there's certain things that you got to keep your soul in alignment with your spirit if you're going to mature.
Right. Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. So it says now, Psalm 103, verse 1. Hey, sleep on me back there. I know him already. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, all my soul. And forget not all of, no. Bless the Lord, all my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. That's what it say, right? Bless the Lord, all my soul. And for what? Forget not all of what? The benefits. Now, if a believer is going to mature, they have to know benefits. There's five benefits here that your soul must be aware of, not just your spirit. Let me tell you, put your finger there. Let me show you something. See, within your soul realm is your conscience. Go to Romans 9:1. Let me show you something. See, you can train your mind, your imagination, your will, and your conscience to be in agreement with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
See, you can train all that. You can train your mind, your conscience, your imagination, your will to be in agreement with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you see, when you're in agreement with the Holy Ghost, that means you're in agreement with the Word. That means you're in agreement with God. That means you're in agreement with the supernatural. That means you cannot be stopped. Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So, a lot of time we're training our spirit at the expense of our soul.
Uh-huh.
Your spirit really ready to go.
Right.
It's that soul connection.
Yes, sir.
What you thinking?
Yes, sir.
What you believing?
Yes, sir.
What you listening at? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You follow me?
Yes, sir.
And so, as we train our soul, what voice I told you to?
Nine.
Romans 9:1.
Yes, sir.
Look at it.
Yes, sir.
I say the truth. Come on, read it. I say the truth in Christ. I lie now. Here it is. My conscience. Wait a minute. Whoa, hold it. My conscience. He didn't say nothing about the spirit. My conscience. Now, here's when you're a student of the word, since the conscience is an aspect of the soul, I can include in that voice my mind. My imagination. And my will, thank you, and my will.
Yes,
so I want my will also bearing witness with me in the Holy Ghost. I want my mind. Come on, talk to me now. I want my imagination. Talk to me. Bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. In other words, you cannot have complete partnership with the Holy Ghost without all your parts. Because, I feel the Holy Ghost now. Because now once your mind, your conscience, your imagination, and your will come in partnership with the Holy Ghost, guess what next now? Your body has no choice. See, it's alignment of your spirit, the soul, and the body. So as your soul mature, your body mature. In other words, your senses mature. You follow me? And that's what the enemy robbing us. That he's robbing us in our soul, not in our spirit. Got it? Now that's see, because you know what Romans 8:14 says, right? Huh? As men is led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we're not trying to become sons.
No. Glory to God.
We're all that already. But then sonship living. Will consist of your spirit, soul, and your body. The enemy rob us in our soul and our bodies. When we learn how to keep our soul in alignment with our spirit, then our body got to come in alignment. I go back to Psalm 103 because we're going to talk about these five benefits that have to mature you. Psalm 103, I think it's verse 3 now, because we're talking about blessing and benefits. You're going to have to know God is a blesser. And you're going to have to know that God wants you to benefit. Don't let nobody talk you out of that, because some of these people talking about the gospel of prosperity and all that's wrong. What? The gospel of blessing. What kind of gospel you want? You want a dog gospel? Huh? No. No, God is a good God. God want me to live long and strong. Bless. Now, who would argue with that? Number one, you're going to have to know who forgiveth all thine iniquity. That's that first benefit. You have to know that sin has no dominion over me, because I've been forgiven, and God has forgiven all my iniquity. The one that I had committed and the one that I will commit. You got to stay clean. Yes. If you don't stay clean, in the aspect of saying staying clean, you have to know the flushing power of the Holy Ghost. You have to walk in harmony and fellowship with God, not letting Satan take you out because you got a little angry. Who hasn't up in here? Who hasn't up in here? Sometimes somebody rub you wrong and it got you a little angry. Who hasn't? Because you're human.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know.
Yes, sir.
And somebody you met, you won't talk to them. You know, I don't feel like messing with her today. No, that actually y'all don't do that, but y'all do it.
Yes, sir.
But you have to know who forgiveth. Now look at that word. All thine iniquity.
Yes, sir.
So now, here's another thing, and I'm going to touch it a little bit here, because I don't believe the body of Christ really recognizes it. We have salvation. Salvation is all inclusive.
One time.
But sanctification is a process.
Yes, sir.
You will be being sanctified the rest of your life.
Yes, sir. I agree. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
See? So you have to let the spirit of sanctification work on you all the time.
Yes.
All right. So number one, he forgives all our iniquity.
Right. Yes, sir.
All right. Now look at the next verse.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you believe the first one,
right.
You have to believe he can do the second one. Yes. Who healeth all my disease.
Yes, sir.
Hey. I don't care what the symptoms say.
That's right. Yes, sir. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, sir.
Who healeth all my diseases.
Yes, sir. Glory to God.
Look at Acts 10:38.
Yes, sir.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who was oppressed of the devil. So now I find out that sickness and disease is a satanic oppression. None of it come from God. The reason you attack is because you're a child of God. And he can't attack God. He's trying to make a mockery of God through you. That's why you have to mature to know how to fight, win, and testify. And he don't want that to happen to you. He wants you to lose, but you fight, win, and testify. And it brings glory to God. All right. So now, you have to meditate this. Go back to Psalm 103. You have to meditate this. I got a couple more territory than this. Who healeth all thy diseases? Number two, the third thing. Watch what this third thing. Go to the next verse. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. So no matter what, who come up with, if you already redeemed, look what Galatians 3:13 says. Christ hath redeemed. Yeah, that cross again. Being made a curse for us. But it's written, curse everyone hanging on a tree, that's that cross. I remember as a Baptist boy preacher, when I first started preaching, I didn't understand what he was talking about, because I understood that tree was the cross. Dead the blessing. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Come on, it's a Bible class. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, what you have of God, and you're not your own? Go to the next verse. Why? Why I'm not my own? That is.
Yes, sir.
Everything I'm telling you, you must know this, it's already. Already paid for.
Yes, sir.
And your faith has to receive.
Yes, sir.
Glory.
Thank you,
Lord.
Yes, sir.
Glory
to God. Hallelujah.
For you bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All right, let's go back to Psalm 103. Yes, let's look at these five things here. We've got to keep deep with this five thing. But redeeming my life from destruction. So now, when you're matured, if a destructive matter come up, you have to be able spiritually to stand on the foundation that I'm already redeemed from this. No matter how I feel, how I look, what somebody else saying, I got to know this in my maturity that I'm already redeemed from this. There's absolutely nothing that the blood can't handle. I plead the blood over my body, over my life, over this situation. You have to know this in maturity. You can't just be a church member. You got to know how to fight individually for yourself, standing on the word, encouraging yourself. I'm going to be all right.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir.
Who redeemeth, listen, I love it. Who redeemeth my life from destruction?
Yes, sir.
No destructive thing can destroy me. I'm already redeemed from it. That's why the scripture says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power and a sound mind. I'm already delivered.
I'm already delivered.
Notice in now in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Ah, glory to God.
I wonder if this, I'm not too good at English and school, but I wonder if this past tense. It's already done. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness. All those stuff we read about sickness and disease, all that's in the power of darkness. Iniquity, all that's the power of darkness. And has translated us into the kingdom.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And that doesn't mean when things going good. Matter of fact, you don't need to know this as much as when things going good.
Yeah, right.
You need to know this when the train looks like it's going off the track.
Absolutely. Oh, glory to God.
Now we're talking about embracing maturity now.
Right. Yes, sir.
We're talking about you're not a crybaby. Everybody got to pray for you.
Right. That's right.
You got to tell everybody your problem. Right. You call your nana, your uncle, everybody. Everybody got to know your problem. You don't call all the proud warriors. Pray for yourself.
Yeah, right. Oh, yes, sir.
Grow up, mature.
Right, yes, sir.
He'll answer you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He loved you.
Yes, sir.
He died for you.
Yes, sir.
He rose for you.
Yes,
sir. He ascended for you.
Yes, sir.
He come back for you.
Yes,
he coming back for you. Let me go here. Go back to Psalm 103, because I got to get you somewhere else tonight. Who dreams our life, who crowns thee with love and kindness. What? Love and crown me with love and kindness and tender mercy. Don't you want to hug him? Huh? Can you feel him hugging you right now? Huh? When God put his arm around you, all harm has to leave. You understand that? All right, let me give you this next one now. That's four, right? Look at the next statement. I think, what is that? That's Luke 21:15. Luke 21:15. I believe it's Luke 21:15. So what he says here, who satisfied thy mouth with good things. You know death and life is in the power of the tongue, right? But look what it says here. Look what Jesus said in the gospel. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom with all your adversaries. How many of them? Should not be able to gainsay. Who satisfy your mouth with good things.
Yes.
Thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
It is written.
Yes.
Now, those five things bring me to the point of living as long as you want to live.
Yes, sir.
Those five things. Go back to that voice because I want to see where he satisfied your mouth with good things. Psalm 103. 103. Go back there. Go back to Psalm 103. So that.
Yes, sir.
So that. So that is the five things before that.
Right.
That our youth, I receive, is renewed like the eagle. That means you're not growing old.
Right.
See, y'all won't put science above the spirit. But in you, I'm going to stay here a second.
Yes, sir.
In you, I'm going to tell you three things. There's perpetual renewal going on at all times. God designed your body. I taught you a little bit about this.
Right.
Ossification comes from the generation.
Right. Come on.
Everybody thinking alike.
Right.
But God designed your body to renew itself.
Yes,
perpetual repair.
Yes.
And perpetual reconstruction
is
going on in you all the time.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, sir.
Y'all got to stop having all these birthday parties talking about how old I am and falling in line with everybody else.
Right. Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir.
They got some people in there who won't tell you their age. They say, I'm young.
I'm
blessed.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
You go to thinking old after you get 50. Look at me.
Right.
I've been past 50.
Yes, sir.
I fell, and my big knot came on my head. We were riding them, what them things, Segways.
Yes,
one of my sons, he wanted to respect me so much, he disrespected me. he cut across in front of me, and I flapped off that thing, and my head swelled up, my side was swelling up, and I just got up, and I stood up.
Right.
I said, I was bleeding. I said, I'm going with my wife. My wife's going to take care of me.
You're right.
So I walked, the lady said, can I have, no, I'm going with my wife.
Right.
I went straight there. She patched me up and got it all off. If I wouldn't have had the mindset,
That's right.
I'd have been gone to the hospital, and I'll still be in the bed today. But that don't happen to young folks. That happened to old folks, you know. If I wouldn't have had that mindset, I'm telling you, sit down, I'm going to try to finish this. Matured Christian know that God promised them a long and satisfied.
Thank you.
And those five blessings, those five benefits was to bring you to that point so you can renew your youth like the eagle. All right, now I want to take you to, that's five benefits, right?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Study that. Study that and run scripture reference to it so you can get the reality of it down deep down inside of you.
Yes, sir.
Now, you can have a blessed attitude or a bad attitude.
Right.
When you mature, you walk in a blessed attitude.
Right.
And nobody can explain that better than Jesus in the Beatitude.
Right.
These attitudes, go to Matthew 5.
Yes, sir.
You see, I'm giving you some things that can mature you.
Uh-huh.
See, your attitude, you're going to have a blessed attitude.
Right.
See, your attitude going to have to be right. You can't be talking about everything that's going wrong.
That's right.
Get solemn on wrongness. Don't repeat it out your mouth.
That's right.
What's going on? Don't advertise for the devil.
That's right.
Start talking about the opposite of how good God is.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Your body feel weak? Say, I'm getting stronger.
Strong. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right?
Yes, sir.
And it's good teaching.
Yes, sir.
Because it's too many Christians that is not living like they should live. To give, and you know, our life is about one thing, giving glory to God. It's not about me, not about you, it's about Him. But as we accept the gifts that He give us through the gift,
and
walk it out. Look at my goodness, we'll go to the bed. Look at Hebrews 11 and 6.
Yes, sir. Oh, glory.
What are you talking about?
Right.
But without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe what?
Yes.
And what else he is? Of who?
Yes, sir.
So God is not a robber.
Right.
He's a rewarder. Let me show you the robber. John 10:10.
Yeah.
Let me show you the robber. I'm going to point the robber out.
You're right.
The thief come not but what? Steal, kill, and destroy. God said, hold up, that's not me.
That's right.
I am come that you might have life. How? That's maturity.
Right. Yes, sir.
If anything else go in your life, that's not from God.
Right. Come on.
So you sack it out until it leaves.
Yeah, right.
Yes, sir.
You sack it out with scripture.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, because of religion and tradition and denomination, some of your attitude's not right.
Right. Yes, sir.
Now, you know, I mean, I'm not talking to you, but I'm just got to say it like that. I got to preach. I got thousands of people listening to all over the world. If your attitude not right, your altitude never going to get right.
You're right. Come on, sir. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Only Jesus can give you the right attitude. So let's go to Matthew 5. Let's go to Matthew 5. I got a living Bible. I want to read a few things to you. Ooh, Jesus. Now, this is yours whether you accept it or not. This is yours whether you believe it or not. The things I'm teaching is coming out of the Bible. This is called this a Holy Spirit encounter, Bob. I just found out about it. I do a lot of reading. I never had heard of it. And my secretary found it for me. And I just walked in the office there. But it has something in here. Jesus talked the Sermon on the Mount. Let me read out that living Bible here. I like the way it read. One day, first verse, as the crowd was gathering, Jesus went up to the mountainside with his disciples and sat down to teach them. Sit down and do what?
Teach
them. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, to mature, you got to have a teachable spirit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, verse 2 said this is what he taught them. You see what verse 3 says? Put verse 3 on the board for me. Matthew 5 and 3. Matthew 5 and 3. Sometime tonight. I want Matthew 5 and 3 in the King James Version. Let everybody read. Read. Now, here's what the Living Bible says. Break this thing down. God blesses those who realize their need for him. That's what the poor in spirit is. Yeah, you recognize that you cannot do this yourself. You need him. And you're saying, I need you every hour. Yeah, see. And so you're blessed. See, you cannot obtain stuff and think you don't need God. Can't get your sheepskin. March down there, get that sheepskin. And then now you think you're all that. No, you need God. The more God bless you, the more you need him. But he says here now, here's the attitude we must have. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And here's what it's saying. Here's what it's saying. Help me, Holy Ghost. It's saying that you recognize that you have not arrived.
Right.
And no matter what lot you are in life, you need the Lord more so. He said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They can have everything. Then he goes on to say, give me the next one. See, this attitude. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Now, let's see what he said here. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. In other words, you humble yourself before God. I'll go back to the point. You recognize there's so much more. See, God, take me to another level. You follow me? Now, you know why I keep talking? See, if I pause, the Holy Ghost is going to settle down in here.
Yes, sir.
I know in my prayer time, and if I leave a big gap, something's going to break loose in here.
Yes,
see, that anointing starting moving.
Yes, sir.
Feel it.
Yeah.
Feel it.
Yes, sir.
It's present.
Yes,
you're maturing. You're not in a hopscotch class. I'm not ministering to your emotion. I'm ministering to your will. Your will is the thing that gets you hooked up with God. Not all that jumping. That don't get you hooked up with God. It's your will. Let thy will be done in my life. On earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done in my life. I pray for my neighbor, but I'm going to let your will be done in my life. I can't make my neighbor do it. The person sitting next to me, I can't make them do it. But I want your will to be done in my life. So sometimes you have to have a mournful attitude. Sometimes you have to recognize I'm not doing all I can do. Sometimes you got to recognize your shortcoming. And then God will move in and comfort you. Go to the next one quickly. I got 19 minutes left. Oh, look at this. What is it here? My God. Ooh, I ought not read this to you. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, no matter how much God bless you, stay meek. Stay humble, you know what I mean? Don't get high-minded. Cool it. Testify. I didn't do it, he did it. Now watch what this translation say here. Watch what it says. God blesses those who are gentle and lowly, for the whole earth will belong to them. Jesus was saying, if you get these kingdom attitude, write that down. Kingdom attitude. There's no limit of how much God's going to use you and bless you. You get these kingdom attitudes. See, these are kingdom attitudes. Blessed are the meek, for the whole earth will belong to them. Now, I'm going to lose my Sunday school class here. I know that. I live like that. After walking with the Lord, I know I ain't nothing I cannot have, nowhere I can go. I don't care what nobody say. I get my hand in God's hand, I'm gone, partner. Because that's the way he set it up. Every time you permit God to bless you on another level, is giving a testimony of who God is. I've told you, you God's advertisement. The Bible is not God's advertisement, you God's advertisement. Why, he can take nothing and make him out of something. Anybody understand that? That woman down at that well, that woman went down as a prostitute, left the well as a preacher. What happened to her down at that well? She met another well. She took a drink. Left sober, went back drunk. The men she was hanging with didn't know her. She's another woman. I know this from personal experience. None of my street buddies know me. And I was a ringleader. My street buddy would meet me nuts. How you doing, Reverend? Real serious. Because they watched me 20 or 25 years and they're waiting on me to come back. I never went back. Something must happen to them. Some of them watched so long they got tired. Man, I'm tired watching. That joker ain't coming back out here. You right? He dead. Anybody in here died? Anybody in here had a life don't want nobody to know about it? Come on. Give me the next one. Here's a maturity failure.
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir.
Here's the verse that I asked God to give me as a Baptist boy.
Right.
I asked God to give me, put that in me.
Yes, sir.
And so I can't go. Sometimes I say I'm going to take a day and just rest, you know, like today. I didn't even know it was Wednesday. No, I didn't know what day it was. I told my wife, I said, well, let's go out and eat tonight. She said, you know what day it is? I said, no, what is it? She said, Wednesday. Oh, I said, oh.
Yes, sir.
I got a key for you I want you to write down. Right now. Stay prepared.
Stay prepared. Yes, sir.
See, I don't prepare for no one day. Stay prepared.
Yes, sir. Oh, glory to God.
Yes, sir.
That's good,
Lord. Now, ask the Lord to give you this voice.
Yes, sir.
This voice right here.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. What do you say? That's a powerful promise and blessing right there. That's the voice that turned your pastor on to love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my might, all my strength. I pounded that voice and pounded that voice, and I go, give me that voice, give me that, give me that. Let me be hungry. And I asked the Lord something else. Now, I don't know why I need to go here, but I asked the Lord, let my wife satisfy me.
Yeah, right. Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to be a street runner.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
He gave me that.
Yes, sir.
Y'all ain't asking for nothing.
Right.
Ask for it.
Yes,
blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Right.
You got to be hungry. You got to be thirsty. Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone.
Yeah.
What he said? But by every word. You got to eat it.
Yeah.
That proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Give me one more, I guess. Give me one more, and then y'all can read the rest. Blessed the merciful, as you obtain moisture. So you got to be merciful, and you obtain moisture, all right? All right, I'm going to take you to, right quickly to five, and I'll talk to you a little bit about it, five breakthrough anointing. In Luke 4:18.
Luke 4:18.
Uh-huh. Five breakthrough anointing. Let me run it through because I'm with all the alphabet B. Broke, brokenhearted, bondage, blind, and bruised. Broke. That's the first one. Brokenhearted. I think next one is bondage. Or it might be blind. Bondage, blind, and bruised. Now there's anointing to handle all of them.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord. So those five anointing handles everything.
Yes, sir.
Those five anointing.
Yes, sir.
You have the, you have, as a child of God, you have a right to pull on any one of these anointing at any moment.
Yes,
to deal with anything.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You ain't had no business being broke.
Right.
You ain't got no business being brokenhearted.
Uh-huh.
You ain't got no business being blind. You ain't got no business being in bondage. And you ain't got a business letting nobody bruise you.
Come on, sir.
Because there's five spiritual, supernatural abilities from the Holy Ghost that handle the whole spectrum of your life. In those five anointings, you can find everything going on. They cover the whole spectrum of life. Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Tell the poor they don't have to be poor no more. The gospel is good news. Let me show you something. Let me show you something. Turn to Revelation 5 and 12. And this sevenfold thing you're supposed to be walking in. Revelation 5, 12. This sevenfold blessing you're supposed to be walking in because of the Lamb of God, because of the blood of Jesus, because you're a child of God. Saying with a loud voice, worthy the Lamb that was slain to what?
Receive.
That was slain to what?
Receive.
Slain to what?
Receive.
Now, who was he slain to receive this far? So here's seven things.
Come on, sir.
As you mature, you're going to know they're rightfully yours. Oh, good God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians 1:18.
Yeah.
said the preaching of the cross is foolish to those who perish, but to us who believe, it's the power of God. Huh? Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God on the salvation of everyone that believes it. Power of God. Power. John 1:12, but as many as received him. Acts 1:8. But you should receive power. Luke 10:39? Behold, I give you power, a trade upon serpent and scorpion and the power of enemy. Do you no harm? You go back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 8:18.
Yes, sir.
I'll give you the power. Power what? To get well. Talk up, talk to me. Right now. Talk to me. He give you Deuteronomy 18, he give you power to get well.
Yes, sir.
Wealth is a covenant power. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is not just in word. 1 Corinthians, I think 1:20, but in power. Jesus died for you to live in power. Power over the enemy. Power over sickness and disease. Power over lack. You shouldn't be afraid to say, I am powerful. They don't want the church to say that, you know. They want, they say, I'm just a poor beggar. No,
I'm powerful.
Because the power, he died for power. Look at the next thing, the second thing. Look at the second thing. Revelation 5:12. You got your Bible open? Look at the second thing. Look at the second thing. Why are people arguing about this? You see it? What did it say?
Riches.
What do you believe that is?
Glory to God.
The next thing, what is? Wisdom. I'm going to take it to another voice before I close. Strength. Honor.
Glory.
And blessing. Jesus received all that for me. Say it. Next time, as a pastor, I catch you crying,
right.
I'm going to take you to that voice. I'm going to run you down Highway 22.
Yes,
I'm going to get in the car, and you're going to be in front of it. Those seven things, you got them?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Look at 1 Corinthians 1:30.
Yes, sir. Glory to God. Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians 1:30. Jesus Christ have been coming to me. Wisdom. Righteousness. Sanctification. And redemption.
Glory to God. Yes, sir.
That second anointing in Luke 4:18, to heal a brokenhearted. Never accept a broken heart.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Don't care what happened. God can fix it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All glory to God. Yes, sir.
God will give you a new heart.
Yes, sir.
Don't be burdened down like life is over because
right.
Something went wrong.
Right.
Get up and put that anointing on. God can heal your broken heart. I don't know if you ever had a broken heart. I understand the concept. I don't know if you ever had one. I don't even know you know that what that is. Something just tear you to pieces. Don't like you make it no longer without it. Oh, God, I'm so embarrassed. Oh. Mm-mm. Heal it. Go to the next one. What's the next one here? In Luke 4:18. Bondage? Preach deliverance to the captive? What is it, nigga? God the poor here, send me to heal a broken heart. Preach deliverance to the captive. Yeah, I'm right. Preach deliverance to the captive. That's bondage. Any kind of bondage you're in, you can preach your way out of it. preach deliverance to the captive. Therefore, you should never remain in no type of captivity because you're a child of God. And you have an anointing to break any bondage, any captivity. There's an anointing for that. Then I refuse to be blind. That's the next one, isn't it? And recovering of sight to the blind. I once was blind, but now I see. Do you really see?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians 2:9.
Yes, sir.
Eyes have not seen, nor ye heard, neither venture into the heart of man the thing that God had prepared for them that love him. But, 10th voice.
Yes, sir.
See, if we're talking about seeing and not being blind here, we're not talking about you seeing how to open the door to get out of here or seeing how to drive home. We're talking about you seeing beyond seeing. You seeing the glory of God. You seeing the blessing of God. You seeing the will of God in your life. You seeing God can make a way out of no way. A matured Christian got to know that. Yeah. Everything can be gone bad around you, but you see something else. See, you have the ability to see the glory of God when everything's going wrong.
Yes,
but it's by the Spirit. Blind. Let me deal with that. Blind. A scenario have come up and you don't know what to do. You're blind. See, but your blessing is that I'm not going to be blind long, because I'm going to look to him. And he gonna open my eyes beyond the physical.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gonna open my eyes to see spiritually.
Yeah.
To see my way out.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, do I walk through the valley in the shadow of death? I feel no evil. Why? Well, he with me. I don't feel no harm message. He my shepherd right now. I don't need no shepherd when I die. So there you go now. Now, you're not going to be broken no more. You're not going to be brokenhearted. You're not going to, no matter what come up, I'm not getting in no bondage.
Right.
And no matter what come up, I'm going to find my way out.
Yep.
And then the last one is bruised. Set at liberty them that are bruised.
Right.
You see that?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Now let me set you up for next Wednesday. There are five building blocks that you must use to mature. They are found in Ephesians 4.
Yes, sir.
Five building blocks.
Yes, sir.
One is earlier in Ephesians 4, but then it says, give us five gifts in the 11th verse.
Yes, sir.
Turn there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it tells us three purposes.
Yes.
Ephesians 4.
Yes,
now you look in the first part of Ephesians 4, you're going to find a term called the unity of the Spirit.
Right.
All right. But then if you go into, I think, the 13th verse, give me the 13th verse. All right. Here's some things. That's unity of the Spirit is one.
Right.
Unity of the faith is two.
Right. Yes, sir.
All right. The knowledge of the Son of God
right.
is the third one. I'll deal with them extensively.
Yes, sir.
To a perfect man is the fourth one.
Uh-huh.
A complete,
uh-huh.
matured
uh-huh.
man is the fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
And the fifth one, unto the measure
yes,
of the stature
oh, yes,
of the fullness. Those five blocks has to be understood
right. yes, sir.
For you to mature as a believer.
Right. Yes, sir.
And you'll never be tossed to and fro no more. No matter what wind blow. I call them five blocks because I kept them in the beads, but they're five ankles. Ankles. Unity of the Spirit. Unity of the faith.
Whew.
Knowledge of the Son of God. Perfect man. Matured. Complete. unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Now, all those things I taught you tonight is for maturity.
Yes, sir.
You got to go over those scriptures, you understand?
Yes, sir.
Pastor can't do no more than a little bit because there's so much keep
yes,
coming up.
Yes.
But if I can get you, grab you, you got a spirit.
Right.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
And you have imagination.
Yes, sir.
You have a mind.
Yes, sir.
You have a will.
Yes, sir.
You have a conscience.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Train them. No way you can mature from Wednesday night and Sunday.
That's right. That's right. That's right, sir. That's right.
In no way you're going to mature. Boxers, football players, basketball players, they work out 7 days a week.
That's right, sir.
You don't catch no boxer sitting around until the fight comes Friday night. Huh?
Ah, yes, sir.
You know, you've seen Michael Jordan flying through the air? Huh?
Yes,
that wasn't the first time he flew.
That's all
right.
When Tiger Woods was in his heydays, he didn't, when the tournament come, go out there with that golf club.
Right. That's right.
His daddy from a little boy, Serena. What are them two girls' name?
Yes,
that daddy drilled them from little children.
That's, right.
That's why they're so good. Well, how do we let all these people get good? In tennis and golf and basketball. Come on, yeah. We must learn how to shoot the ball through the hoop spiritually. I refuse to pastor an immature church. I want you to grow. You know, love will tell you the truth. Some people have itch in the ears. They just want to hear something to satisfy them. But it can't take care of them. I forbid to say something you lack every time I say something. I'm not training you then. I'm not training you. I got to touch your soul spot. When you go in the doctor, he won't know where you're having a problem at.
Right.
Wait, on your side? Wait, where's that? On your shoulder? Where you having a problem at? That's what he's going to concentrate on.
Right.
So when you come up in hell, you're in my operating room.
Right.
I remember one of the best surgeons I know. He told me, he said, no, I'll make some adjustment. He said, no, that's your operating room.
Right. Yes, sir.
I'll do anything you the operator there.
Right.
See, you understand the concept.
He
don't want nobody to come in his operating room, start to grab him stuff. He got people's life in his hand. Come on, yeah, talk to me. So as Paul said to all his churches, grow up. Stop asking everybody but God. Ask God. When you get up in the morning, ask God to help me, to show me, to guide me, lead me. Keep your hand on me. Give me wisdom. Let me make the right decision. He'll do it. Give me wisdom. Don't let me go by television. Don't let me go by what's going on down the street. Let me walk like you want me to walk. Give me your understanding. Open the eyes of my understanding. That I may know what the hope of my calling, what the riches of my inheritance, what the exceeded greatness of your power toward me. Enjoy your life in the Lord. Stand up. Everybody stand up. Anybody here not born again?